Let the church say amen again.
Amen.
Thank you, thank you, thank you so much, Eden. We are blessed, and I say it from the pulpit again and again, we are blessed with our young people here in Watford Town. I will say it again, we are blessed.
Amen.
And I am thankful that every Sabbath they are involved in our worship service from Sabbath to Sabbath. It is just so wonderful to have them participate. And my prayer for them is that they will grow in grace.
Amen.
You know, we are told that Satan has marshaled his forces against the young. It's not that he has taken a back seat with those of us who may well be older. That's not the case at all. But we are told that he has marshaled his forces particularly against the young because they're strong. And he wants to direct them wherever he would direct them. But we want to pray for our young people. We want to pray that they will stand for Jesus, especially in the times in which we are living. We are indeed living in serious times. And as you will see from the message, the title of the message here, Everything That Can Be Shaken Will Be, we are looking at one of the theological positions found in the scripture that will come under the title of last things. We call it last things, or maybe the big word that is used beginning with E. Yes, I heard it. Eschatology. Looking at last things. And I believe it is important for us to consider last things because we are living in the last days. Yes? Amen?
Amen?
We are living indeed in the last days. And that's why I suppose the first hymn that we sang together, A Shelter in the Time of Storm, we can find our refuge, our help, and our strength in Jesus Christ. So everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Father in heaven, thank you so much for the joy and the privilege that you give to us to hear your word. We thank you, Father, for your precious word, for it is indeed life to all those who heed it, protection and shelter for those who take account of it. And so we pray, Heavenly Father, even now, we ask that, Father, you will bless us with your word. And we pray that our ears, our hearts will be open to receive that word. That, Lord, even as this message may well be challenging in nature, but yet there is encouragement in it. And so, gracious Father, we pray once again, speak, Lord, for we, your servants, are listening. Again, we pray that, Father, as this is a spiritual exercise, we ask that, Father, you will shut us in with you, for the enemy of our soul will particularly not want this message to be heard. And so he will seek to distract in any way, shape, or form. We are asking, Heavenly Father, that you will come in your power, send your angels to line this sanctuary Shut us in indeed with you. Shut us in with you, Father, and cause us to hear your word. May your name be honored and glorified and praised. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I am sure you never would have thought to be living in a time when almost everything around you seems to be falling apart. Everything is on the upheaval. It appears that all aspects of life is touched by trouble of some degree. Out in the world, there is turbulence. I need not mention all that we have experienced during the recent pandemic. I need not explain the tremendous social unrest and the unprecedented political uncertainty. That's in the world. In the church, we are not untouched by serious turbulence. Within the very walls of our church, we are witnessing agitation. The fundamental teachings of the Bible are being questioned. The theological platform upon which we stood today, sizable cracks are beginning to crumble before our very eyes. Worldliness, unashamedly has burst wide open the doors of the church and has taken its seat. And the voices of those that sigh and cry for the abominations and open desecration of spiritual things are heard less and less as they are pushed aside to the margins of unpopularity and irrelevance. What is going on? What's going on? All that we know are there are people within the church who have become disheartened and are on the very border of despair regarding the degree to which the church of God is unrecognizable. What has happened to our church? And what is the meaning of all of this? What is going on? What is happening to our church? Today, my brothers and sisters, we want to take a look at the subject of the shaking. Have you heard about the shaking? Maybe some of you have. Others of you may be hearing this for the very first time. Do we know what the shaking is? We will look at in this sermon today the definition of the shaking, what will cause the shaking, who will leave as a result of the shaking, and what the church will look like after the shaking. Let me begin by saying this. Before the final events of history, before the last warning message is given and taken to everyone by the remnant people of God, There will be movements called a shaking within our church that will result in many people leaving. And this will pave the way for those who are now not seen, that is, the invisible church, who will go forward with what we understand as the loud cry to the world that will usher in the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the biblical image of the shaking or the sifting is an agricultural term that refers to the sifting of grain. It is an important process because you see, among the good grain, in an agricultural sense, among the good grain are stones, straw, husks, and weeds. It is in this vital process of shaking or sifting that everything is subjected to wind as well as movement so that the chaff disappears and only the good grain remains. So please remember this, my brothers and sisters. Everything is shaken. Everything. But what remains is the good grain. In Amos chapter 9 and verse 9, God uses this term, sift, S-I-F-T, to describe the eventual calling out and the preservation of his people from among the nations. We read that in Amos 9 verse 9. It says, "For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall to the earth." And this is what I want us to understand. Here, for those who are genuine believers of God during the shaking, what the Bible tells us here is, although the house of Israel among all nations will be sifted as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall to the earth. So in a similar way, there is to be in the final times of earth's history among the professed people of God a personal, spiritual process of purification, the purification of God's church. So now, what will cause a shaking? Those who have actually researched this have found in the writings of Ellen White 66 causes, 66 causes which have been grouped into six, thank God, because if we were to go through all 66, we'll be here for a while. But we're going to briefly touch on those six areas. How many areas? Six areas. So the first, so we're looking at what will cause the shaking. Six grouped areas that we're going to look at. Number one, the first cause of the shaking is the truth. The truth. Now, we find in the book, Early Writings, page 50, that this is made very clear. It says here, I quote, "All will be shaken out who are not willing to take a bold and unyielding stand for the truth. The Bible warns us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 9 to 12, and I'm only summarizing here, that many who are lost will be lost because they do not love the truth, that they might be saved. So if they do not love the truth that they might be saved, guess what's going to happen? Deception to the person who is hearing will be as truth. So those who do not love the truth will be deceived by falsehood. They do not love the truth. They have a problem with the Sabbath, the truth of the sanctuary, the truth of the remnant church. Many will go out from us because they no longer believe the truth. Now, I could preach on this one subject for the rest of the day. We don't have that time. We've got six groups to look at. So the first group, the first cause is the truth that will cause a shaking. The second cause is persecution. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, yea, the Bible says, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall what? Suffer persecution. So all that live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. So those who are faithful to Jesus will be persecuted. In the Great Controversy, page 608, we are told that there will be great persecution. The reality is many will not bear the persecution, and because they cannot bear it, they will leave us. So number one, the cause of the shaking is a truth. Number two, cause of the shaking is persecution. Cause number three is suffering. Now the Bible makes it clear from Genesis to Revelation that there will be suffering. There will be earthquakes, the Bible tells us, cyclones, storms, natural tragedies, and tragedies caused by man. Wars, suffering caused by epidemics and pandemics, job losses, and hard financial times. These will all increase, and those who cannot endure the suffering will also abandon us. Interestingly, leaders have noticed that because of the pandemic and lockdown measures that took place a few years ago, some members fell away from the church. Did you notice that? Now, I'm not talking about for genuine reasons why people were not able to come to church. Even when the online services were put on, there were just some of them you just won't see. You wouldn't see them. And when the opportunity for churches to reopen was granted, interest in church was gone. Fear of suffering took hold of some. And so because some will not endure suffering, they will leave. That's cause number three. Cause number four is the rejection of the testimony of the true witness. Why is the testimony of the true witness rejected? It is because the testimony of the true witness is not appreciated. We don't like it. We don't want to hear it. It is too close to home. Straight truth is interfering with my lifestyle choices. In Testimonies for the Church, Volume 1, page 181, it says this. I quote, I asked the meaning of the shaking I had seen, and I was shown that it would be caused by the straight testimony called forth by the counsel of the true witness. That is, the true witness being who? Jesus Christ. To the Laodiceans. This will have its effect upon the heart of the receiver and will lead him to exalt the standard and pour forth the straight truth. Now notice this. Some will not bear this straight testimony. They will rise up against it, and this is what will cause the shaking among God's people. So the question is, who are the Laodiceans? That is answered in Testimonies for the Church, Volume 4, and page 87. It says, the Laodicean message applies to the people of God who profess to believe in the present truth. The greater part of the Laodicean church are lukewarm professors, having a name, but no zeal. End quote. Such a group, my brothers and sisters, such a class profess to love the truth, yet there is no passion or very little devotion. They have 1 foot in and 1 foot out of the church. And you know, when you have 1 foot in and 1 foot out, eventually you will be totally out. So, cause number 4, the rejection of the testimony of the true witness. Cause number 5 is the reception and receiving of false theories. In Life and Teachings, page 81, we read, I have been shown that false theories advanced in the past have by no means been given up. As favorable opportunities come, they will have a resurrection. My brothers and my sisters, and this is something that I recognize that took place even at an exponential level when we had the pandemic crisis. I want to say to everyone listening today, be careful of who and what you listen to and believe. Be very careful. There have been many false ministries where initially it is apparent that they are rooted in the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. They call themselves reformers. They have a passion for the church. But when they begin presenting their teachings, slowly they mix truth with error in order to deceive as many as they could possibly deceive. My brothers and my sisters, I say to you, be on your guard. Be on your guard. Don't allow yourself to be fooled. Many will leave us embracing false doctrine. Number 6. The 6th cause for the shaking is satanic deceptions. These deceptions are divided into 2 parts. The first part is supernatural, the supernatural spirits and the dead. Again, in Selected Messages, Volume 2, we read, the apostasy will increase. Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. You know, my brothers and sisters, we will be seeing more frequently, supernatural manifestations and spirits of the so-called departed relatives. As we near the coming of Jesus, we are going to see more manifestations of such things. Relatives, friends, church members who will appear to us and tell us categorically that we are not following the path that we should be. May I share with you that our only assurance is in this. Because it will be the battle between believing and seeing. What your eyes see and what the Bible says will become an issue. So the sixth cause for the shaking is satanic deceptions under the first group, supernatural spirits of the dead. The second is miracles. Now, here is a very strong caution that we find in Testimonies, Volume 9. You will gather by now that I believe in the spirit of prophecy. Testimonies, Volume 9, page 16. Here is a quote. It says, God's people will not find their safety in working miracles, for Satan will counterfeit miracles that will be wrought. Now, does God have power to perform miracles? Yes, he does. There is no question about that. But unfortunately, Satan can do the same. So we cannot place our trust in the miracle itself, but in the only one and true God who does miracles and on how this miracle was done. If it is in accordance with the Bible truth. So don't put your lock, stock and barrel of life and decision making in miracles. Many of these miracles will be taking place, but you need to understand you place your trust not in the miracles, not in sight, but in faith. So that's the sixth cause. Sixth cause for the shaking. Now we're going to move into the next section, and that is, who will leave? So we looked at a description of the shaking. We know what that is. We've looked at the six causes for the shaking. We've seen those. Now we're going to look at who will leave. Let me begin, first of all, with what it says in Testimonies for the Church, Volume 5, page 81. I quote, many a star that we have admired for its brilliancy will then go out in darkness. Many a star. So those who right now may be great influencers, popular among the people, and are regarded as the bright lights of the church, those who many follow will then go out from among us. The truth is that these situations, we find that they are not reflecting Jesus, the Son of Righteousness. I am saying to those of us here today, don't put your trust in man. Put your trust in God. There are many people who will stand here with great influence. And people follow people. They hear this speaker is going to be over there, and then you find the whole world goes across there. This is where it's all happening. Don't put your trust in people. many a bright light, admired for its brilliancy, will go out in darkness. That's the first. The second are talented men and women. Talented men and women. I turn to the Great Controversy, page 608, paragraph 2, and it says, as the storm approaches, a large class who have professed faith in the third angel's message but have not been sanctified through obedience to the truth, abandon their position and join the ranks of the opposition. How can that be? Listen, by uniting with the world and partaking of its spirit, they have come to view matters in nearly the same light. And when the test is brought, they are prepared to choose the easy, popular side. Men of talent and pleasing address who once rejoiced in the truth employ their powers to deceive and mislead souls. They become the most bitter enemies of their former brethren. When Sabbath keepers are brought before the courts to answer for their faith, these apostates are the most efficient agents of Satan to misrepresent and accuse them, and by false reports and insinuations to stir up the rulers against them. End quote. So the second group are talented men and women. The third group are entire families. I thank God for the spirit of prophecy that gives enlightenment. We find in Testimonies to Ministers, page 411, paragraph 2, it says, even in our day, there have been and will continue to be entire families who have once rejoiced in the truth, but who will lose faith. Why? Because of calumnies and falsehoods brought to them in regard to those whom they have loved and with whom they have had sweet counsel. Now, what is this word calumny? What does it mean? It is defined as making of false or defamatory statements about someone in order to damage their reputation. Can you pinpoint anything anywhere? Is this something that is divorced from our family here in Watford Town? Not as long as Satan lives. Spreading rumors, false defamatory statements that are made. We are told that whole groups, unfortunately, because of things that are being said about them, whole families will abandon the faith. Whole families. Because of what people say. Now, that's another sermon to deal with. And another time. So, those who will leave, first of all, many a bright star. Second, talented men and women. Third, entire families. The fourth group are all the chaff. Those who are half here, half there. Half in, half out. 1 foot in, 1 foot out. We know, my brothers and sisters, that to be almost saved is to be totally lost. When the hard times hit, those who are chaff, that is why the illustration is given. God is going to sift, and all the stones, the weeds, the tares will be shaken out. It is not might be, will be. So the chaff, those who are half in, half out. Fifth group, surface readers. When the shaking comes by the introduction of false theories, we are told in Testimonies to Ministers, page 112, these surface readers, anchored nowhere, are like shifting sand. You know, it states it clearly. Surface readers anchored where? Nowhere. They will move from position to position. They're anchored nowhere. But in the Bible, it tells us in 2 Timothy 2:15, it encourages us to study. Study. Those who have gone to university go to university to study. They're not surface readers. They have to go to a certain depth. What the Bible is encouraging is that we go to a certain depth. Now, not depth, depth. Not everyone is at the same level. But whatever level you are, ask God to give you the ability to study His word. For what we understand is that there are so many diverse things out there. If you don't know what you believe, you cannot depend upon the elder. You can't depend upon any deacon or anybody else. No professor anywhere. The only place you can depend upon is God's word. This is the only thing you can depend upon. Surface readers. So, what will the church look like after the shaking? You know, my brothers and sisters, after hearing all of this, you may be saying to yourself, if the majority will abandon us, if multitudes will leave, whole families depart, whole groups fall away. Men of talent drop off. People who we have admired for their brilliancy depart. Who will be left? I want you to listen very carefully to the following statement. It is very important. Very important, and it is found in Selected Messages, Volume 2, page 280. I quote, listen, the church may appear as about to fall, but it doesn't fall. It remains. While the sinners in Zion will be sifted out, the chaff separated from the precious wheat. Now, why doesn't it fall? Why doesn't the church fall? Do you know? Do you know why the church doesn't fall? Let me ask you, who is the captain of this ship called the Seventh-day Adventist Church? It is none other than Jesus. None other than Jesus. And if Jesus is in the ship, there is no storm that is able to sink the boat where Jesus is. But we all need to be sifted. All of us. And it's not easy, even for the grain. Even for the grain. Being there in the midst of the turbulence, the wind and the shaking and the movement, the agitation, the grain is also experiencing trauma. Even the grain. The grain is subjected to much agitation. And there is every danger that the grain might fall out, but it is important that the chaff get out. The chaff will get out. The chaff will leave, but the process is not easy for the grain. You and I need to be purified. There is no question about it. Every person who comes to Jesus must know they need to be purified. The ministry needs to be purified. The church members need to be purified. There's no question about it. But my brothers and sisters, we need to know also that out of the shaking, good will come. My brothers and sisters, the first thing that we need to know about the shaking is the assurance that we gain. That's why I'm just saying, out of the shaking, good will come. The first thing that we need to understand is the assurance. The first good thing is assurance. Now you say to me, what do you mean? Assurance in the shaking. We have assurance because the time of the shaking has come. When everything that can be shaken will be shaken, be assured we are in the shaking time. We can have assurance of that. God says that, not me. In the Review and Herald of 1901, it says clearly, the time has come. The shaking has begun, and it is increasing in intensity until the final shaking that will happen at the time of the Sunday law. Now, I don't have time to go in all of this, but we hope somewhere on one Sabbath that we're able to address these things. It is only the person who is spiritually blind that cannot see that we're in the midst of a shaking. Look at how members that are around the world dropped off like flies because there was no church during the pandemic. Look at the number of clashes we are having in our church at all levels. Look at what is being said by members over the internet. Look at all these ministries appearing on the scene, siphoning off believers. Look at the number of bright stars losing their light. So it is not that these things are happening to these people. What I'm saying here, it is good news. We are assured what God said will happen is happening. That's where we get our assurance. The second good news about the shaking is victory. In the Great Controversy, again, page 530, we have good news. Some of us hearing this message today may well be saying to ourselves, I am not looking forward to being shaken. No way. I don't think that I can go through this. I don't have what it takes. But I want to have you hear what the Great Controversy says on page 530. It says the following: Satan is well aware that the weakest soul who abides in Christ is more than a match for the hosts of darkness.
So 6,000 demons, that's a legion, and a host, which are thousands of demons, cannot defeat the weakest person who is listening to me right now. If you consider yourself the weakest person, cry out to God and say, "Have mercy upon me, O God. I want to be with you. Please save me." I am telling you, under the authority of God's word, that legions of demons will not defeat you. Hosts of demons will not defeat you, because the weakest soul who remains in Christ is more than enough to compete with the hosts of darkness. With Christ in you, you have more power than all the legions behind you. There is good news. You will be victorious in Jesus. Remain in Jesus and you will be victorious. Stay on the side of the one, capital O, who is victorious, and you will be victorious. The third good news regarding a shaking is that there is hope. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 1. Page 432 says, "I was shown the saints' reward, the immortal inheritance. Then I was shown how much God's people had endured for the truth's sake, and that they would count heaven cheap enough. They reckoned that the sufferings of this present time were not worthy to be compared with the glory which should be revealed in them." Please listen to me today. The glory will be revealed in me. The glory will be revealed in you. It is not only about inheriting the glory of the kingdom and all its beauty. It is not solely walking those streets of gold and running your hands along the precious wall of jasper. Yes, there will be the glory of the unimaginable kingdom to come. But my brothers and sisters, we need to understand that God's glory will be revealed in us. You see, you have suffered. You have suffered so much because of the truth. You have had so much hardship, so much suffering. You have been shaken, tossed up and down, round about. It would have looked like you were about to be shaken out because of the suffering and hardship. But when you get there and you see what God has prepared for you because of you, you will look and say, "It was worth it." Amen. The good news is that even though we are going through and will continue to go through all of this turbulence, the agitation, the shaking, the sifting here on this earth, know, my brothers and sisters, that the best is yet to come. Don't forget, the grain remains. The grain remains. The chaff gets out. This is good news. And I want to encourage you today to stay firm, my brothers and sisters. while we are in the shaking time, hold on to Jesus. For the Bible says, for who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. I wish I could sing right now, but I can't. I wish my daughter was here to sing this song, but she's not here. But the words of this song is so encouraging. And I'm just going to read one verse of the chorus. No, one chorus. I'm just going to read the chorus. It says here, I do not know how long 'twill be, nor what the future holds for me, but this I know, if Jesus leads me, I shall get home someday. Hold on. Hold on. While the shaking is taking place, hold on. The chaff will be shaken out, but the grain will remain.